Hello, and welcome to Women in Retail Talks. I'm Ashley Tiradio, Senior Content Strategist at the Women in Retail Leadership Circle. And today I'm joined by Rochelle Weitzner, founder of Pause While Aging, a skincare company with a collection of three products for the three stages of menopause. Today we're going to be talking about Rochelle's inspiration to launch Pause, the challenges and lessons learned from breaking into this audience segment, and much more. So Rochelle, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me.
So maybe you can just start by giving a little bit of background about yourself and your journey before starting Pause.
Okay, sure. So my journey beforehand was a little bit crazy. I would say I've had kind of two distinct careers so far. First, I started my career, believe it or not, in paper and forest products. And I was with the world's largest paper and forest products company for 19 years. And I was able to have some amazing, amazing opportunities to be the CFO of various billion-dollar businesses there. And part of my time with IP was spent living in Paris. And while I was in Paris, I became very enamored with fashion and beauty. And I knew that when I moved back to the US, I really wanted to do something that was more in that arena. And so when I did eventually move back, I went to work for Laura Mercier, the cosmetics company, and Revive Skincare as their CFO. And so making this transition from paper, a commodity company, to a beauty company, because I was doing it in the area of finance, was actually pretty easy to do. I think if I was trying to go, you know, from a sales standpoint of a commodity product to beauty, it may have been more difficult, but in finance, it was pretty easy. And so I spent a number of years there, and then I went on to become the CEO of Erno Laszlo, which is where I stayed again for another several years until we ultimately sold the company to a Chinese private equity group.
Great. So then could you maybe give us some inspiration of why you wanted to start Pause While Aging and a little bit about the brand and the mission?
Yeah, absolutely. So after I left Erno Laszlo, I was trying to figure out what was I going to do with my life at this point. And I was living in LA. I was doing some consulting work there. And one day I was driving to the beach, one of my favorite things to do, head to the Santa Monica Beach. And I'm in the car and I start sweating to death and just dying. And I'm about to lean over to my wife and say, "What is wrong with the air conditioning? This is crazy." And I realize that she's practically shivering under a blanket. And then it hits me, hold on a minute, it's not the car, it's me. I'm not sick, but I'm having my first hot flash. And in that moment, in that flash, I say, Pause really was born, because I started thinking about the fact that I came from the beauty industry. I knew what beauty was focused on, which quite honestly was really the millennials. And there was not a single brand out there that was speaking to women like me who were experiencing the three stages of menopause and the physiological skin changes that were going to come as a result of this life stage. So honestly, that was how the idea was born. And I'm not joking when I say it. We got to the beach and I started writing the business plan on the beach as we were walking.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, obviously there was, you know, a few years of research and everything else that went into it, but that was kind of the catalyst for how the brand was started. I knew that I wanted to have an ingredient story that really held up through the line, something that would focus on those key changes that we were going to experience as a result of estrogen deprived skin. So things like loss of collagen, loss of elasticity, loss of radiance, and extreme dryness, that's really where we focus what we call the Pause complex. And that complex is in all of our products across the line.
So that kind of leads me to my next question. So obviously this is an audience segment that has been basically ignored before now. What have been some challenges breaking into this space, and what are some lessons that you've learned along the way?
So you are so right. This this segment has been completely ignored. And I think that the biggest challenge has been the lack of education that's out there around what menopause really is. There are a lot of lawyers, and I say lawyers specifically, and I'll get into that in a minute, but a lot of lawyers that will say that menopause is a medical condition. And as a result of that, there are certain things that we are unable to do. Now, menopause is absolutely not a medical condition. The FDA will even tell you that menopause is, by definition, is not a medical condition. It's a life stage. It's no different than, say, puberty is. Mm-hmm. However, because of this lack of education, we've been told we can't say menopause on television. We can't use the world's largest search engine to do retargeting ads, again, because we would violate their, what they call, you know, their health condition requirements and medical condition requirements. So in addition, we found when I sat down with literally every major beauty magazine editor, and to a person, they said to me, we've never printed the word menopause before. We don't want our readers to feel badly about themselves, so we don't talk about menopause. And my response to that is, you're doing such a disservice to your readers, because your readers don't know what to expect. They don't know what's normal. Maybe they're like me and think, oh my God, I'm going crazy. Until you realize, you know, what to expect, what's normal with this life stage. So I am really, really happy to say that just last week, the November issue of Allure magazine came out, and it was the first time that they ever printed menopause. We're actually in that magazine edition because we pushed so hard around the ridiculousness of not educating their readers about menopause.
Wow, that must feel so good to see that you were able to make that change. That's progress.
It's amazing. It really is. I feel like now maybe the tide will turn a bit. I know we still have a lot of work to do, but things are changing slowly.
So like you said, we've been taught to treat menopause as this taboo topic. How do your marketing efforts help change that narrative? And I noticed you Pause will not use the word anti-aging. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one of the very first things that I knew I wanted to do was capture some intellectual property. So I knew I wanted to trademark Pause. But then I was also thinking about how bad anti-aging sounds. And it sounds like we're against aging. And, you know, I've been a part of that too, coming from Laszlo and Laura Mercy, where everything is about anti-aging. And when I really started to think about that and how negative it was, I basically created the term well-aging, which means aging well the way we want to and on our terms. And so if we want to use some tools to help us along the way, great. And if we don't, we don't want to use anything, that's great too. Totally fine. And so we also trademarked well-aging. Just because we think that it's so important to be positive about this life stage. So one of the things you asked about, you know, our marketing and what are we doing to try to change the narrative? We don't hide from menopause. I don't want to be somewhere where someone tells me, well, you can't say menopause. You could talk about the change, or, you know, some of these other crazy words that we've come up with to avoid saying the word menopause. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it as often as I can. I think it's really important that we show, you know, what I think of as the new face of menopause. I think when we hear the word menopause, we tend to picture, you know, what somebody's great great grandmother might look like, and that's really not the face of menopause today. The new face, you know, she's in her 40s, her 50s, and beyond. She's probably very active, focused on wellness, and, you know, beginning this next life stage with lots of knowledge, but also a lot of freedoms. Chances are, you know, kids are out of the house, and it's like this whole next stage in life. And so I think almost as society, we've been conditioned to think, well, once you reach menopause, life is over. That's the end. Your beauty ends. Everything is over. And I 100% disagree with that. I think it's the complete opposite. I think life is just starting. And you know, that's really how we want to talk about menopause and really position ourselves in the conversation.
That's great. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about how your previous roles in the beauty industry have prepared you for launching Pause.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, my previous roles really allowed me to learn about every aspect of how you operate a beauty company. I was fortunate enough to be, you know, at some pretty senior levels, the highest levels of the company. And so I had to get involved in everything. I spent a lot of time in various labs and focused on product development and just learning how do you go about creating products and, you know, learning about ingredients. That knowledge enabled me to create what we call the Pause Clean Standard. It became very clear to me that we could create a product line that was free from ingredients that were considered harmful, carcinogenic, or, you know, just really not very good for the body. So we created our own clean standard. And again, that came from experiences from working with the other companies. I was able to spend a lot of time with various channel partners and learning how each channel operates. So a channel partner would be like a department store, for example. What are the margins that are required? What's the advertising that you have to do? How do you staff to be able to operate in those kinds of environments? And so I really got involved in everything, sales, marketing, but also legal, HR, purchasing, supply chain, finance, IT. So, you know, honestly, that experience prepared me for everything I needed to focus on the launch of Pause.
So Pause While Aging is a digitally native brand. Could you tell us a little bit about your fulfillment process and your partnership with .com distribution?
Sure. So we distribute on our own website, which is pausewellaging.com, all one word. And we also distribute through Amazon. We knew that we needed to find a distribution partner that understood the needs of a digitally native brand. So what I mean by that is when you're going direct to consumer, there's really a higher level of customer service, and we're very much focused on an unboxing experience. Amazon's a little different. I think we've been trained that when you order from Amazon, you get a big giant box, no matter how many pieces you've ordered, and maybe there's one little piece inside, but that unboxing experience we've tend to accept as, well, it's Amazon, it's fast. You know, all I really care about is just getting my product. It doesn't matter what opening the box looks like. But knowing that we wanted that higher customer service and unboxing, for us, .com was really the clear choice. The way that we operate our fulfillment process is orders are placed online on our website, and they get fulfilled by .com. And likewise, when we need to transfer inventory to Amazon, .com would also handle those shipments as well. And so, as our partner and really extension of our team, .com helps us think through sampling programs, kit options, and other things that we can do to delight our customers really in the most cost-effective manner. And that's really key, because as a startup, every single dollar is just so critical.
Sure. So I'm going to shift gears again, but what are a few best practices you could share and give to others who would be interested in launching their own business?
Yeah. So first of all, do it. Don't think about it. Just do it.
That's great advice.
I can't tell you how many times I went back and forth, and you know, you get really insecure and think, am I the only one that thinks this is a good idea? Can I really do this? You have to do it. Set your mind to it and move forward. I think that it's really important to seek out mentors and people who have launched businesses before, and then really listen to what they're saying to you. It's super easy to think you know it all, And I probably was one of those. But a startup is very different from a corporate job. And, you know, your mindset has to completely shift. Another thing is absolutely write a business plan and use it as your business roadmap. It's going to change hundreds of times, but it should always be updated and referred to. And one of the things that I've seen is that many people today don't think a business plan is necessary. They kind of think it's sort of an outdated, antiquated thing. I completely disagree with this. The business plan is what keeps you traveling on your path without getting distracted and losing your key focus. Another thing is you really have to be scrappy and willing to pivot often. When I first wrote my business plan, I thought, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to raise $20 million, and everything is going to be great. I'll build my company and everything's perfect. Well, I very quickly found out that no one writes a business plan and raises $20 million right off the bat. That's pretty unusual to do. So I had to completely recalibrate my thinking. And then I think another best practice is find the right strategic partners. A lot of people might think you have to immediately go out and hire a ton of people to get the company started. But really, this is not true at all. It's finding the right agency partners that can act as an extension of your company, and they pretty much become part of your team.
So what are the future plans for Pausewell Aging? How do you see it expanding and growing?
So I think for a while, we're going to keep our focus to be digitally native while we continue to launch more products to really round out our offering. By January, we will have an excellent product assortment with more products continuing to launch through the year and the years to come. We're launching cleansing products in just a few weeks. We'll have two products launching in November. Then it come January, we're going to launch a face serum and the greatest eye treatment product that will ever hit the market. And I say that because we're actually doing some before and after photo studies right now. And it's really, really hard to find a product that actually improves and eliminates dark circles. And we have one that does. So it's great for dark circles.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's really exciting. I mean, the people are lining up for that product already. And then I do see us probably making some sort of move into bricks and mortar in some way. But I want to be really thoughtful about who our ideal partners are and really what makes the most sense for us.
Well, Rochelle, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Women in Retail Talks.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, please check out our podcast channel page at wirlc.com/podcasts for show notes. Women in Retail Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe on our podcast channel page as well. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a few moments to rate and review this podcast. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Women in Retail Talks.